Well, I'm not an expert. I'm not an authority. I'm someone who has been a murderer for almost 20 years.
Maybe I should have killed 400 or 500 people, then I would have felt better.
People say Ted Bundy didn't show any emotion. There must be something in that. I showed emotion. You know what people said? See, you really can get violent and angry.
Welcome to The Squonk and the Hag, a podcast about murder, mystery, the supernatural, and even a conspiracy or two.
Dun, dun, dun.
My name is Mo.
And I'm Kraken.
Welcome on in, guys, to another episode, a special creepy, spoopy Halloween episode of The Squonk and the Hag. With me, as always, it's Krakko.
Or 75 gins in a frogs in a trench coat.
Take your pick. But so if this is coming as a surprise to you, we are releasing on a Tuesday instead of a Thursday because it's Halloween.
That's all I got.
And we're going to traumatize Mo.
How about we don't?
But it's fun to hear the reaction because it's like when you get traumatized, like the reactions are very interesting. Just a lot of nopes. So,
fine.
I know we've already done the Goat Man, but this one's a little different kind of Goat Man.
So this isn't the one on the train trestle?
No, this is one in a forest, and it's not bound to a train trestle.
I think this is the greatest episode ever. I'm going to stop you right there, going to hit stop, and we're good. Bye.
Goodbye.
All right, so this one is not bound to a train trestle. It's in the woods.
And if I'm pronouncing, I'm not sure if this is the person's name or if this is just the name that was given to the story. I don't know the background on the name of the story, but it's Anansi's Goatman story. It's one of the more popular Goatman stories for me. Anytime I think of Goatman, I think of this story because I read it several times.
Mm-hmm.
This was like the back rooms just posted on an anonymous 4chan board. It's the X paranormal board. It was posted on September 28th, 2012. And it goes something like this. I'm 16, African American, and have a family down in Alabama. They farm and own a huge amount of land down in Huntsville. My uncle owns a big house and a bunch of trailers that they put out in the woods for hunting or camping. Down south, cousins suggest that we go out there to camp. They know that I'm a city kid from Chicago, so they tease me about it the whole time. We collect food, we kill a pig, some chickens from the farm, and bring the necessities to camp out for a few days. We get to the camp, and something obviously is very weird right away. The air has this weird electric smell, like right before a storm. It smells like ozone.
Oh.
We think nothing of it and begin to unpack, and we go down to a creek for a swim for a few hours. All of a sudden, this older white guy and white teenager come out of the bushes. He has a shotgun in the crook of his arm. He says hello and asks what we're doing this far out in the woods. I explain about my uncle, who he knows, and say that we're camping out here for a few days. And he tells us that we need to be real careful and stick together, that there was a big animal in the woods. His son, who is my age, asked if he can stay and hang out with us. And he says okay and agrees. So we end up playing football, and just also with the group, there was this other white kid named Tanner, five of my cousins, and then four of their friends. In total, there were five girls and six boys. This number is important to remember.
Okay. Should I take a note?
It will be a tool that will help us later.
Oh, okay. Now I'm scared.
We were all around 15 to 17. We ended up just screwing around the whole day, not doing much, so we head back to the camp and pull out some stuff for a campfire, even though the trailers both had kitchenettes. Tanner says that his family's property sits up against my uncle's, and he wants to run home and ask his dad if he can come out camping with us. My cousin, Rooster, says he's going to go with him since it's going to get dark soon, and one of the girls also wants to tag along.
So is his cousin's name actually Rooster, or is that a nickname?
It may be a nickname, but I'm just going to choose to believe that his name is actually Rooster.
I mean, it could go either way.
I mean, it could. They did say down south, and, you know, down south, the names get interesting, so.
This is true. Well, I mean, it's not down south. It's everywhere. Look at celebrities.
Okay, true.
Yeah, like that one named her kid Pilot Inspector.
Yeah.
What's going to happen when the kid becomes like a graphic designer? Like,
here, come meet our graphic designer, Pilot Inspector.
Yeah, and you know, like, there's some weird names, like Elon Musk's kid. I don't even know how to say his name.
It's like X Ashe 12, something like that.
There's numbers in it. That's all I know. So,
I wondered how to pronounce it too, and I think that's what I read somewhere is how it's pronounced, I think.
Yeah, and like, I've seen some really weird ones online. Like, I don't know if this is actually a true story, because I feel like it might just be like a viral whatever, but there's one about these two twins named Orangelo and Limangelo, and it's actually spelled Orange Jello and Lemon Jello.
Okay, that's definitely a name.
So Rooster is, you know, not that bad.
Yeah, after that, yeah, that's not bad at all. So it's about 7 o'clock and it's starting to get pretty dark. They take flashlights and take the trail towards Tanner's property while the rest of us just hang out. We make s'mores, drink, that kind of thing. About 30 or 40 minutes later.
Oh, now I want s'mores.
Yeah, that actually sounds really good. Well, I'll quickly make you forget about the s'mores.
I'm going to cling to the s'mores.
Fair. And it's just a cartoon image of you, your emote avatar. The you on the emotes. It's just that covered in, like, charred marshmallow.
And chocolate.
Mm-hmm. And graham cracker.
Yeah, Chris makes fun of me because, like, anytime we go to, like, a baseball game, I always get ice cream. And apparently... Mm-hmm. It always ends up everywhere, like all over my face, on my nose, my forehead. I don't even know how it gets up there. He's like, you're worse than a little kid.
Okay, so let's just picture you as the kid in that video where he's just got the ice cream bar with the bite taken out of it, and he's just literally just rubbing the ice cream bar on his forehead and his nose.
I don't rub it on my face. It just happens.
Mm-hmm.
Same way I like to get funnel cake at baseball games, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that just means powdered sugar everywhere.
I mean, I just think that means it's good if it's getting everywhere.
This is true. And you get to save a little sweet treat for later.
Mm-hmm. You just randomly discover, like, some chocolate on your cheek or something, and it's just like, how did that get there? Anyway. So about 30 or 40 minutes later, there's the smell of ozone again. You could smell it over the smell of the fire. It was this really nasty, coppery smell, like right after you've had a nosebleed and it stopped. It wasn't exactly like dried blood, but it was that metallic back of your throat smell.
Ew, like almost like a little bit of bile, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I hate that taste.
So we immediately think it's some kind of electrical malfunction, or someone left a hot plate on or something. So we search the trailers, nothing is on, but we can all smell it. All of a sudden, we hear people sprinting down the path toward us. Rooster, Tanner, and the girl all come running into the clearing, out of breath, and they don't even break stride, and they just run straight into the trailer right past the fire.
That's always a good sign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with this. They end up calming down, and even Rooster is crying at this point. All the while, the fire is getting lower and lower, so my other cousins say, you know, it's probably fine, I'm gonna go outside and take care, or they were gonna go outside and get the generator out of the shed between the trailers to power them up. Tanner goes, no, lock the front door. No one else is going outside. And he's been crying, too. His eyes were bloodshot and puffy. His pants had dirt and sticks and leaves and stuff all over him. He goes on to tell us that they went up to his house, and his father said, sure, he could go camping, but to make sure they were careful on the way back and that maybe they should take one of his hunting rifles just in case. Evidently, Tanner had seen something in their yard a few days before, and one of their pig's head came up, ripped up and half eaten.
Oh, dear.
They assumed it was just some big cats or coyotes, even though they usually don't mess with the livestock. He'd gone upstairs, packed his stuff, and told his dad they would be okay without the rifle because coyotes typically avoid people. So they started walking back where we were camping, and Rooster finally stops crying and shaking. The girl already had, but she was just staring out the window with a dumb look on her face. He says they had gotten halfway into the woods toward camp when they started to hear stuff in the forest. It was almost pitch black by this time, so they weren't sure what it was. The girl says that she heard something in the bushes right off the trail, so they all pointed their flashlights over there, and there was something standing back in the woods in a little hollow. Rooster said that they shouted at him and told them that he was scaring them and that he was just being a dick. He says that's when he realized that the guy was facing away from them. So they kept walking, and then they started smelling that coppery ozone smell. They say they took off, they looked off into the forest on the opposite side, and it's a dude standing in the forest, backward, but slightly closer to the path.
So, like, he his back is always to them, up until now, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm. But he's on the opposite side of the path and a little bit closer. So they start power walking, and Tanner keeps muttering, I should have taken the rifle.
Yeah. Then again, you don't know what kind of trouble that could have led to, because what if you shoot whatever this is?
And it was just someone.
Well, and it was just someone, or it makes it angry, and you're never seen again.
Yeah, fair. And bullets might not hurt this thing, whatever it is.
Yeah, or like... If it, like, for example, werewolves, it has to be a certain type of bullet.
See, that's the interesting thing is an American werewolf in London, it doesn't have to be any certain kind of bullet. It's just any bullet.
General folklore is that you need a silver bullet for a werewolf.
Yeah, it's silver bullet, yeah.
And a wooden stake for a vampire, yada yada.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this one needs a copper bullet.
Maybe?
Wait, isn't that most bullets?
I think most of them are made of
aluminum bullet.
Some sort of special bullet.
Yeah, because like, remember, what was it? The eyeball killer used aluminum bullets.
He was ready for the goat man.
He thought those women were all goat men.
Yeah, that's what it was. So as they're telling this story, the smell is getting super strong, even in the cabin.
Ooh.
They say that after that, they started walking faster, and a kind of low gibbering had started coming from both sides of the forest. And as they started going back, booking it back to the trailer, the girl said she had flashed her flashlight out into the woods to the side of them and had seen something jerkily moving itself through the woods. The best way I can think of how to describe that is like stop motion, but in real life.
Yeah, like I'm imagining like almost like gangly. So, like, it, you know, it doesn't move traditionally. I don't like it.
Yeah, it gets worse. The gibbering just got...
Changed my mind. I don't want to do this.
Too late.
Damn it!
The gibbering just got louder and louder. And when they could see the light from our camp, something had come out of the woods about 40 yards behind them onto the path. And so they just ran as hard as they could into the trailer.
I wonder why.
I wonder. So we're out in the woods, and we're assuming at this point it's just some rednecks or something trying to mess with us. Because that's... People move like that.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I could see you screwing with someone like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, my other cousin, Junior, starts going on about how he went to school with a native kid that was telling him about the goat man or something. We immediately tell him to shut up because we don't need any spooky talk right now.
Right.
But he just kept going on about how it's the goat man, we're in his woods, blah, blah, blah. Now, at the time, I never heard of this goat man or any of that. But then a couple years ago, the year before I graduated from college, I don't know what this is. I tried finding this out, but maybe someone can tell me or maybe you know. I had a Menom for a roommate and ended up asking him about it. It's spelled M-E-N-O-M. I tried looking it up, but it didn't really show anything, so I'm not 100% sure what that is.
Well, according to the Wiktionary, it is the instrumental singular of Mino.
Fair enough.
It's not helpful.
Unless that's a typo for something else that I can't think of what it is.
Maybe. Yeah, because I'm not seeing anything. Anyway.
Yeah, I couldn't figure that one out. But anyway, to sum it up, it's basically a man with the head of a goat, and he can shapeshift, and he gets among groups of people to terrorize them. And Ranger, if you're listening, close your ears for the next, like, 10 seconds or so. It's supposed to be kind of like the Wendigo, and it's bad luck to even talk about it, and it's even worse if you see it.
Yeah. I will say that is another creature that was covered on Supernatural, and they very openly used the word. And I know Ranger freaks out. He's like, do not say that.
Mm-hmm.
Do not say it.
It's understandable for people to freak out about that, which is, but like at this point, I'm like, I've already said it enough times that it's too late for
me. Yeah, although I've heard it where it's like a long E, a Wendigo instead of a Wendigo.
Yeah, supposedly like that's the quote American way to say it, that the native way to say it will actually summon it, that like the proper pronunciation is a well-kept secret because they don't want people just saying it.
Oh, that makes sense.
That only a few people know how to properly say it. It's close, but it's not quite the same.
Right, right. Probably has like rolled letters or something like that. I can't do that. Like, you know, the Spanish rolled R's? I can't do that at all.
Sometimes I can, but then other times it's like, yeah, no, it's not happening. So keep in mind, I didn't know this back when I was 16. So my cousin is going, the goat man's going to get in and get us. The girls are all terrified, and my cousins are and I are all trying to figure out if it's just some hillbillies or some animal. All of a sudden, the smell just goes away. Like, to this day, I haven't experienced anything like it. Usually the smells fade away or just lessen, but it was just there 1 second and not the next.
Right. That's crazy.
So it's after an hour, which makes it around 9 or 10 o'clock. We've stopped panicking enough to go back outside and stoke the fire again. We figured it was just someone trying to mess with us, so we choose not to go back home, because we think if we do, they'll chase us through the woods or follow us home or something crazy.
Yeah.
So nothing else weird happens that night, and we stay another night. For the main part of the night, nothing happens. At about 1 in the morning, we're outside, drinking, telling ghost stories.
Ooh, they're teenagers, that's naughty.
Yeah. Maybe that's why the goat man was after them.
Goatman was like, hey, you are underage. I need to see your ID.
That's all he wanted. He just wanted to see some ID.
Yeah.
So as someone is finishing up their spooky story, don't remember what about, the smell comes back. And it is so strong that one of the girls starts vomiting. I stand up and realize that you can actually feel how clammy the air is.
Oh my god.
I say we should go inside, that something's not right, and we should have just left. We all go back inside and we're standing around. My cousin keeps going on about how it's the goat man, and my cousin Rooster tries to get him to shut up.
Yeah.
All the while, I'm just feeling that something's not right, but I can't figure out what it is.
So we talked about when the djinn just wanted to cuddle with his clammy hands.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the goat man just wants to cuddle.
Fair enough. Maybe.
You don't know. Because... Everybody's like, ooh, the goat man, stay away from the goat man. And the goat man is just lonely and doesn't want a djinn to come because goat man lives by himself. And he's like, that makes me spiritually weak. So he's like, I just want to cuddle. Can I come cuddle, guys? And everyone's like, ah, the goat man.
He just wants to see some ID and to cuddle.
See?
That's all. The next time you see something spooky, just offer it to cuddle. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Oh, yeah.
So we end up sitting there for a while, and the smell is just as strong, and we're terrified and all huddled in this camper. We end up cooking brats for everyone, because no one wants to go outside. It's one of those packs of 4, and we have a total of 3 packs. I grill them up on the stove and give everyone a hot dog. I get mine, and after a while, one of my cousins gets up, goes over to the pot to get another. And he starts grumbling about how I got 2 and everyone else only got 1. And I look at him like he's crazy, and I tell him that everyone only got 1 because there's only 12 brats. If he wants more, he should get up and open a new pack and cook more. That's when the girl that had been out with Rooster and Tanner just starts screaming, oh Jesus, oh Lord, get it out. She's crying and shivering, and then it dawns on the cousin standing up, what's wrong? Me and him both glance around the room, and I feel my heart sink. I run out of the cabin, and the girl runs with us. The trailer door is banging against the side of the trailer as everyone's just flying out of the cabin. One of the cousins asked us what was wrong. I start counting. There's only 11 of us now. My cousin verified there had been 12 people in the cabin. But being that everyone didn't really know each other that well, nobody really noticed the whole time that there was an extra person.
Okay, I was like, was the math earlier wrong, or is the math wrong now? So, okay... Well, okay, they gave the goat man a hot dog, and then they're gonna cuddle.
Just imagine the shape-shifted goat man just sitting there enjoying a hot dog.
It's like, I was so lonely out in the woods by myself, but now I got a hot dog, I'm making some friends, it's really nice. And then everybody just screams and run out.
Mom said I could go camping. These humans are a little weird, but you know, they're alright.
It's just like, Mom said I could do this and I'm really enjoying myself. And I really like having some friends. Why is everybody running outside screaming?
I will never not imagine the Goatman not sounding like that. This is exactly what I imagine the Goatman sounding like now.
I just really like this hot dog. I wonder if they have any potato chips. Potato chips go real good with a hot dog.
I'm going to take the audio from this episode and I'm going to try to make an animation of this. I just need the Goatman just sitting there talking about the hot dog.
And this is why you're friends with me, right?
Exactly.
You come in with this creepy story and you're like, ooh, spooky time for Halloween. And I just turn the Goatman into, like, whatever that is.
Someone who just wants a friend and who likes hot dogs.
I just really want to cuddle. Cuddling sounds real nice, but I've never done it because everybody's afraid of me.
It's even funnier when you picture it like a satyr with like the legs of a goat, the body of a human, and the head of a goat. And it's just kind of sitting there with its knees up to its chest, just eating a hot dog in the empty camper. Doors just flapping in the wind.
Maybe they all got sick from their hot dogs and they had to go throw up.
Surely that's it.
My hot dog's pretty good, though. I really like it.
It's fine.
Sorry, I completely derailed this. The
perfect way to derail it, though.
Continue with your story.
Okay. And then I realized earlier that I kind of noticed something was off. You know how when you're just messing around having a good time and you don't worry about the small things, like even if you don't keep track of certain details,
mm-hmm.
I'm dead sure that someone else had been in the trailer with us and they had been there for at least a day eating with us.
Oh my God.
What makes it worse is I couldn't figure out which one because I don't think anyone ever actually interacted with the other person slash goat man. The girl kept praying to Jesus and we were all sitting outside. Eventually, we got some big sticks and decided to go back in the cabin.
With big sticks?
But there was no one in there. Yeah, they just found some big sticks and we're just gonna go back in there.
Okie dokie.
But there was no one in there.
Wouldn't have been my choice, but okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my choice would have been just go home.
Yeah, or cuddle.
We do a head count again, and there's 11 people. We go back into the trailer and lock the door and we explain what happened. The girl says that she realized too, and that when she was about to say something, the person sitting next to her had grabbed her leg very hard and leaned over toward her and said something that she couldn't quite understand.
Do you like hot dogs too?
But it was said with a mouthful of hot dog, and that's why they didn't understand it. Moving on.
I'm so sorry.
It is perfect. Do not be sorry. We're all terrified as we huddle together and I fall asleep. When I wake up, the sun is just coming up and half the people are asleep and the other half are packing our stuff up. We all want to walk back home, but four people want to stay until the sun is all the way up. And some people think that we're just screwing around and want to stay at the trailers. I just want to get out of the woods. The girl's name was Kira, the one that the goat man had touched. Anyway, I asked her if she really thinks it was something bad. She says she just wants to go home and doesn't want to be out in the woods alone for another night. So we decide to split up. The four that want to go can go, but I have to stay since I have the keys to the cabin and it's my uncle's and I have to lock up. I'm super pissed at this point because I feel like people aren't taking this seriously and I definitely didn't want to be out in the woods for another night. I spend the rest of the day trying to convince the rest of the people, now four girls, four guys, to just leave. Tanner leaves with them to go get a rifle and says he's coming back. So there are just seven of us left by 4 o'clock. Around 5 p.m., he hasn't made it back yet, and we're getting very antsy. And the only reason I stopped begging them to go back was because he went to get a gun. At about 5:30 or so, when the one cousin that did stay says the girl Kira is outside. We all look outside, and sure enough, she's standing by the fire pit with her back to the cabin. And I keep thinking to myself, if she was so scared, why would she come back? And then I get this nasty feeling in my gut. Keep in mind the whole time the coppery smell has been gone, but now I realize I can smell just a hint of it.
Just got any more hot dogs?
They're out there at the fire trying to cook a hot dog.
I just want another hot dog.
First, they just wanted to see ID, but then they realized that they could get cuddles, and then they discovered hot dogs, and then now... So I mentioned the hint of the copper smell to everyone else, and these are the people who wanted to just stay in the woods after we had the goat man among us. They're laughing at me and asking if I set this up to scare them. I'm looking at them like, I am not kidding you at all right now. And I ask them, why would I play like that? So one of the girls goes outside to get Kira. She gets halfway to her and stops where she's at. Kira starts heaving. I don't know how to describe it, sort of like if someone with their back turned was laughing, but they weren't making any noise.
Almost like I'm thinking like dry heaving, like when you're like...
Yeah, basically that.
You know, making that jerking motion, but nothing comes out.
And it was this fact that made me realize there was not a single sound in the whole woods. It was dead silent.
Ah, I don't like that.
And this was like later in September, so it was still faintly hot, fairly hot at the time. But it was super chilly some days too. And you could usually hear the big geese or some other kind of birds or squirrels chattering. But there's nothing.
Yeah, there's no such thing as pure silence in nature. Like there's wind moving, there's leaves rustling, there's critters, there's, you know.
Yeah, but silence is just not right.
Yeah.
So I open the door and I tell her to come back in the trailer right now. She backs up into the trailer and we lock the door and we pull down all the shades except one and put a guy there in a chair to keep an eye on her. She stands there for another 20 minutes or so, and the guy turns to say that she's still there, and then there's a huge bang on the door. We all jump up and scramble around the living room of the trailer. The banging is extremely loud. So now my cousin is holding one of the girls, and the other two are kind of giggling with nervous laughter, and me and the other two guys are just panicking. Then we hear Tanner. He's screaming, "Let me in and stop playing." So we go over to the door and open it, and he stumbles in with the rifle, and there's no one else outside.
What?
Keep in mind, he was watching this girl the whole time, and he looked away for a second and then just gone.
She was gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Supposedly, he had walked up to the campsite, Tanner, and nothing weird happened in the forest, but he had seen a girl. Mind you, he said it wasn't Kira standing there. When he got into the edge of the clearing, she had turned toward him with this slack-jawed look and just stared at him, slowly tracking him as he walked around the outside of the clearing toward the camp. He said it wasn't till he was almost halfway to the trailer that he realized that she was getting closer to him. She started off by the fire, and without him even seeing her move, she had been turning and inching closer. He said that he just ran the rest of the way back to the cabin thinking it would open, and then when he got to the door, it was locked.
Well, yeah.
And he turned around, and this thing was about half the distance to the door.
Oh my goodness.
So he looks around the room and gets super pale. He pulls me to the side and whispers in my ear, "You know there are only 7 of us in here, right?" I get that feeling where your stomach drops, and I realized it had been back in the trailer while we were sorting out who was going where.
Just wanted another hot dog.
It's like a stray cat. You give it food once and it's going to keep coming back.
I wanted to try one with some ketchup.
I can't with this goat man. So then we all went outside to talk earlier in the day. It just slipped right back in. We looked out the window and there was no one out there. So we recount everyone and then basically I go over and ask everyone how many people were here earlier. Everyone says 8. I say, "Well, how many are here now?" They all do a count, and they realize that there's only 7 of us in the cabin. So Tanner had brought back a couple boxes of ammo and his rifle, and he had told his dad that there was some kind of animal in the forest because he didn't think his dad would believe him if he said it was the goat man.
I wonder why he wouldn't.
Can't imagine why. It's a perfectly reasonable explanation. He says that his cousin is supposed to be coming down in a few hours, and then in the morning we can all go back to his place and his cousin will drive us home. Now I'm really terrified, but at least I feel better because we can be American and shoot whatever this thing is if it comes back.
Because that's the solution to everything.
Yeah, basically. Well, then my cousin gets into this huge argument with one of the girls because she thinks that I'm trying to be funny and prank them, and that she's getting really scared and that I'm not funny. He keeps telling her I'm not that kind of person, and she says, well, how do we know the girl wasn't just Tanner in a wig? Or if it's really the goat man, how do we know that this is the real Tanner and the goat man didn't just kill Tanner in the woods and take his gun? There's a huge argument about this, where me and Tanner are like, we could seriously be in danger because at the very least, someone's been sneaking themselves into our trailer without us knowing and mingling with us, and at worst, something bad is in the forest messing with us. One of the girls is crying and says she wants to go right now, and we try to tell her we shouldn't because none of us are walking through the woods in the middle of the night.
Yeah, especially with like this all going down.
Yeah. And at this point, the sun is starting to go down and it's getting a little cloudy out. So we eat something and turn on the radio for a while, but we can't really get a station out there with anything decent. So we turn it off, and about that time, Tanner's cousin shows up. He was like 19, I think. At this point, the sun is barely over the horizon, and he has one of those heavy-duty lantern flashlights and another rifle. He walks up to the trailer, and we whisper to Tanner, asking him if he's sure that's his cousin, and he says yes. The guy looks behind him and all around the camp, then he walks in, glances at all of us, and looks a little confused. He says, where's your other little buddy at? I figured she would meet me up at the cabin. Is she a little slow or something? He also asked whether we had been cooking blood in the cabin, because it smelt like blood and hot pans all the way up the trail.
Wait, do people just cook blood?
It's a good question. I guess he was just referring to the coppery smell.
Yeah, like, I know, obviously when you cook meat, there's a little bit, but I don't often hear people just...
Not that strong.
Boil it up a pot of blood.
Yeah, just making some blood stew. Gonna cook some hot dogs in it.
I really like hot dogs.
So we were all just noping out, but we ask him what he's talking about with the girl that he saw. He had come down the same trail Tanner had been using, and he had come up on one of you guys' buddies standing in the middle of the trail, looking at him slack-jawed. He asked her a bunch of questions, but all she did was look at him. Then she smiled at him, and he said he kept walking. She couldn't seem to keep up with him and kept lagging a little behind him. He said he asked her if she was hurt or something or if she needed any help, but she just continued to stare. Eventually, he had been walking and turned around a bend in the trail, but when he turned around and went back to see if she was okay, the trail was empty. He assumed she had taken some sort of shortcut through the woods to the trailer.
Yep, that's a big nope.
So we tell him the whole story of what's been going on, and I half expect him to say that, you know, we were full of it, but he just listened and then sat down on the couches in the living room. Tanner's cousin gets back to the girl, and he says, when she had kept trying to lag behind him, it had kind of weirded him out. So he tried to keep her in front of him, but no matter how slow he walked, she was always a little behind. And that he smelled this nasty smell, and it got stronger as he got to the camp. And eventually it got very strong. She had said something really low that he didn't catch, but when he had turned around, she had been right there behind him. And he had to take a step back from her. She was so close.
Yeah.
It was at this point he asked her if she was okay, and if she wasn't, he asked if she wanted him to carry her on his back the rest of the way, and she just kept staring. He said he reached out for her, like to grab her on the shoulder, but he must have, quote, misjudged the distance, because she was off to the side of where he had put his hand, like she had moved while he was looking at her.
Yeah, nope, bye.
Mm-hmm. So at this point, we know things are getting real. Unless Tanner's playing a joke, which we can tell he's not because he's almost pissing his pants.
That's usually a good way to tell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a good indicator. Mm-hmm. So they load up their rifles and we eat some more and we just kind of sit around until about 11. To this day, every time I think about this, I really pray to God it was some huge prank that my cousins played on me and just never revealed, so I would just panic about it for the rest of my life. At around 11, the stink of copper turns into an actual nasty, gross, more blood-like smell, like cooking blood and singed hair. Tanner and his cousin, Reese, got up instantly and grabbed their rifles. There's this half-knocking, half-clawing at the door, and there's a voice. And it sounds like when you see those YouTube cats and dogs whose owners teach them how to, quote, talk. You've seen the cat video, the Olong Johnson cat talking video? It sounded kind of like that. And it says in this halting, weirdly toned voice, "Let me in, stop playing."
I just want a hot dog.
Honestly, what's creepier, "Let me in, stop playing," or "I just want a hot dog"?
Maybe I could try one with some mustard.
Fair enough. This voice was obviously not a person talking, and it just didn't have the right speaking rhythm. And that's something else that I never realized until that moment, but all people have a certain rhythm or cadence when they talk, no matter what language. All people have this unique rhythm. This thing didn't have any rhythm. One of those YouTube cats, that's what it sounded like. So now I'm in full-on terror mode. We keep yelling outside, "Who is it? Stop messing around." And it just keeps saying, "In," or "Let me in," for almost 15 minutes.
Hot dog.
Okay, that caught me off guard. I wasn't ready for just dog. Okay, picture this. You're just laying there in bed. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. You wake up for whatever reason. And then just from somewhere in the room, you just hear, "Dog.
Maybe I'll try some diced onions next."
It's just various hot dog toppings. Might get a little crazy and put some chili on it.
I hear if you have a chili dog and you put Fritos on it, it's pretty special.
One, that sounds good. I need to try that too. Okay.
I think they serve that over at Sonic.
Fair enough.
They don't serve me there.
I couldn't imagine why.
Apparently you need to be in a car at a drive-in.
That's never stopped me.
Maybe I'll have to try it again. I could get one of those cherry limeades with my hot dog.
What is wrong with us?
Where should I start? I mean, my excuse is that I had a crazy week and my brain is just off in La La Land. I don't know what your excuse is.
Fair enough.
I mean, you've had a crazy week too. But
yeah.
I'm just gonna
continue.
Did you know when they do the cherry limeade, they put an actual cherry in it?
Fair enough. So the smell goes away for a while, and for the next hour or so you can hear someone basically creeping around in the woods around the trailer. Every couple minutes, it'll come back to the door and say something. But finally, when the smell fades away, it's around 2 in the morning. Reese says, "Screw this," opens the door, and goes outside with his rifle. He fires a shot in the air and says something to the effect of, "In the name of Jesus Christ, go away." And then fires 2 more times.
I mean, I guess that's one way to deal with it.
Yeah. But I think that just made it angry, because then from the woods, right up against the river across from the trailer, sounds like something is slowly gibbering and hooting. Then it starts screaming, and it sounds like a woman and a cat in a bag together screaming.
That's an odd visual.
And then you begin to hear the brush in that direction start to shake. Reese fires over into the tree line and then starts backing into the house. We lock the door and we can still hear it keening and screaming and just making a bunch of noise. Reese said something had come out of the woods, super low to the ground, crawling toward the cabin, and that he shot at it.
Because that's a smart thing to do when you have an angry cryptid. Shoot it. What could go wrong?
We're already in danger. How could it get worse? So pretty much that's how the rest of the night went. It was screaming constantly for the next 2 hours, and we could hear stuff moving out into the tree line, but it never came back up to the cabin until everyone had finally fallen asleep. Tanner had been sitting in the chair watching the door with his rifle, and nobody else heard or saw this, and he told me 2 days later, after the whole thing was over. He said he had been nodding off after the screaming and noises finally stopped, and he'd been almost asleep when he saw someone come out of the bathroom and then lay down in the middle of the floor and go to sleep. He just assumes it was one of us and just nodded off. Then he kind of realized something wasn't right. And while pretending to be sleeping, he counted us, There were 9 people in the cabin. He didn't want to try to shoot the thing in the cabin and have it kill all of us right there, or have Reese wake up and start shooting and then we shoot ourselves. So he stayed awake all night, just pretending to be asleep. He said sometimes it would stand up and do this weird jittery thing or heave like it was laughing, but then it would just lay back down.
Not weird at all.
No, not at all. So the story doesn't have a very exciting ending, because from my perspective, nothing happened. We woke up and I noticed that Tanner was a little jittery and that he was avoiding looking at all of us. But we ate some breakfast, packed up, and started walking to his house. He stayed last in the cabin and said he'd lock up and bring me my uncle's keys to just start walking and he'd catch up, which I really didn't want to do. We got a little bit up the path, and when he came running up, basically we just jogged back to his house, and his cousin took us home. There was a window in the bathroom. Tanner had gone to lock up, and he looked in there. We were too stupid to lock a screenless window, and the window was up when he went in there. So I'm guessing it had been doing that all along, waiting for us to fall asleep or slip up and then getting in among us. It walked with us the whole way back to his house, and then he said it lagged back to the back of the group and looked him dead in the eyes before walking into the woods.
Guess that means no more hot dogs.
All my friends have gone home.
Wonder if they'll come back and maybe bring a burger or two.
See, the interesting thing is it never hurt anyone. It was just it was just sitting in there eating.
Creepy.
Yeah. Mom said he could go hang out and go camp with them, and he did.
Yeah, like he just wanted friends. Poor thing.
I have new friends.
Yeah. Like the one guy went and asked his dad if he'd go camping. Maybe the goat man did the same thing and was like, oh my god, guys, I finally have friends. This is so cool. Is this what people really do? Like they just sit around and hang out? This is amazing.
I too enjoy human things.
Yeah, look at me walking on my human legs, using my human hands.
But that is the end of the story. That's where that ends.
That was creepy.
Yeah.
But a good Halloween tale. Because it's a little different than, like, it's not like the typical, you know,
yeah,
jump scare ghosty Halloween stuff. Like, this was creepy.
And see, that's the ones that I like. It's like, there's no explanation for it. It's just weird.
Yeah. Like you.
I was just about to say, that sounds a lot like a good description for me, but you know.
No explanation, just weird.
Yeah. We'll keep it that way.
Thank you for the spooktacular Halloween tale, Krakow. And I don't have anything else, do you?
I think that is it.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. And we really like hot dogs around here. So we'll see you guys next time.
Hey, bye.
Hot dog.
Mustard.
Maybe some relish.
As always, make sure to check out our website for all of the show notes, sources, and more information at thesquonkandthehag.com.
And we would also love and appreciate your support by either leaving a review on iTunes or through small monthly donations using the viewer support link in the description. And if you don't subscribe, make sure to follow us on your favorite podcast network to get notified of new episodes every Thursday.
All right, Krakow, you ready?
Okay, bye.